Hey fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hey fashionpreneurs, welcome back to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. We back for another season. Y'all have been on my top, on my line about getting back to the diaries. So I promised you guys that we would be back. I know it's been a long break. I have reasons. It's been a lot going on in my life. But I am back, better, reloaded, and we're kicking it off with one of my amazing friends. Many of you guys should know Big Yay over here. I'm gonna just let her give y'all her bio, and then we'll get into some good stuff today, y'all.
Hey guys, so my name is Donye Taylor. I'm a creative consultant and a creative coach, and basically what I do is I help entrepreneurs and creatives unlock their potential to go after whatever it is that they want as it relates to their brand. I'm so skilled in so many different things, and I feel like I'm really at the point in my life where all of those things are coming together to be what it is like that I call my gift, like my purpose to really serve people in this world. And I'm really excited to be here to talk with Jessica about marketing, creativity, fashion, all that good stuff.
So. Yes. So I'm so excited to have Yay here. The East Coast is in the building. Okay, honey, let's be clear. You're from D.C.?
PG. PG County,
That's D.C. and Baltimore lingo.
Everybody, you know, like PG is a little different from D.C. It's a little bit more suburban. I think it's like the perfect hybrid.
Okay,
like, a little bit of hood, but a little bit of suburban.
Yeah, I like PG.
Yeah, PG
It's out
County.
The way.
Yes.
It's out the way.
Yes.
Okay, so Yay, you've been in L.A. how long?
Like 2 years. Okay. Well, L.A. for 1 year. And Orange County for another year.
Yeah.
So, but Cali 2 years.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Are you enjoying it still? Do you like it here?
I like LA way more than Orange County for, you know, reasons like this. Like, this is like 10 minutes from where I live.
Yeah.
Versus if you were to ask me to do this last year, I'd be like, ooh, like,
yeah, you
it's
was
gonna
far.
Be a hike. You know what I mean? So I feel like I'm more accessible to people like me, like, even like, a couple of hours ago, I met my friend Layla. She's in town for work, but she works at RCA, and it's
ooh,
like,
that's
damn,
lit.
You know what I mean? Like, I can link up with her and go to lunch because she's right here. So I feel like LA is way more concentrated as it relates to people of color that are in the creative industry.
Yeah,
so that's what I like about it.
I like it. I feel like it's just a hub of creatives. I feel like East Coasters come out here and get it done as far as creativity. Also, I feel like we maximize marketing out here.
Yeah.
I see people all the time, creatives on corners in downtown LA doing photo shoots.
Exactly.
Walking across the street getting content. So it's just like, it's just so inspiring to be in this area, especially downtown LA. It's just like a mecca of creativity and branding. So I get really excited. And I was watching Savage Fenty show last night. Did you see it yet?
Yeah, it's I did see it.
Beautiful. So did you know that it was shot at the Westin Bonaventure on 3rd over here?
No.
It was shot around, I Googled it. I was like, what building is this? It looks familiar because I remember the Westin has those elevators, like they protrude out. And it was shot there. I Googled it. I'm like, damn. So like creativity is all over LA. So I think it's so inspiring.
Yes.
So, okay, this is the Fashionpreneur Diaries. How has 2021 been for you?
2021. I will say challenging. That's the word. You know, I'm not going to say it was bad. I'm not going to say it was good, but I will say it was very challenging. It was a lot of things I had to do for the first time and figure out for the first time. And I feel like, you know, like sometimes you get to a point in your life where you feel like, okay, I know how to navigate this.
Yep.
And then life comes and be like, no, you don't. No, you fucking, wait, can I cut?
Yes.
Okay, no, you fucking don't. No, you don't. So I feel like this year I had to relearn so much, but it was so good for me because it helped me emotionally and it helped me mentally as it relates to my business, and just having more of a clear mind as it as relates to what it is that I love doing, not just like what I'm good at, but what I love doing that I'm also good at. But I feel like this past month was like the final boss. Like I feel like every single month has been like a new boss, like a video game, you know what I mean? I feel like this month I reached like a checkpoint where it's like, even if I die, I ain't starting from level one. So I feel like this year has just been really challenging, taught me a lot, and I feel like it's going to equip me for the rest of my life, and I will forever look back on this year with the lessons that I've learned. So it's like, wow, it was very challenging. I wouldn't go back and change any of it. But yeah, I'm very grateful for this year.
Me
too. Very grateful for 2021.
I'm glad it's almost over, though. Yes. I have to be honest. Yes. I would say my word to describe 2021 has been humility. I, like you said, it's like you think you got this shit. You know it. Like, oh, I know what, I got the flow. I know my day to day. I know what my months look like, my quarters. Not even just from a business perspective, but my life. I know how to get around this and navigate it.
Right.
But I had so many shifts in life, like
that's
personally.
Shifts.
Huge shifts. Like, shifts. And they were abrupt. I don't think people realize, like, as you grow, I just turned 30, like, 2 weeks ago.
Ooh.
Thank you. And I swear, like, everybody was telling me, like, yo, when 30 hits, it's, like, just different. And you know sometimes how you can see things coming?
Mm-hmm.
No. This whole year, every transition that happened personally to my life was, it was like a car wreck. Like, immediately,
same.
You couldn't see it.
Same.
Mm-hmm. And it forced me to now deal with the wreck. Mm-hmm. And I felt like in some situations, I didn't have insurance to deal with the wreck. It was like, you just got to figure this shit out. So it was a lot of things personally, emotionally. I have felt new, not even new emotions, but I have felt new levels of emotions I never felt before. But I always tell people, like, I do the work. I hired a therapist. I go to my trainer to keep my mind disciplined. So I was doing that work, making sure my health stayed consistent in a way that I was seeing positivity and growth in my health. And I felt like that saved me and just God nonstop. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in a place where I literally was like, people were waiting, like, when's the podcast coming back? I'm like, if y'all knew the shit I had going on in my brain,
you wouldn't even be asking.
You wouldn't be asking about this podcast. But it's my duty. It's God's plan. So I was really excited to come back. And I'm in a place where I'm great now, like, really good. I'm making a lot of decisions, like adult decisions. And they're still humility based. But they're like, I'm still so blessed. Mm-hmm. So it's been a lot of shifts post COVID with my businesses. Like, I actually saw a decrease in irregular exposure.
Oh, wow.
So we continue to, we have been increasing like crazy, but for the first time in like 6 years, I saw a decrease. And it wasn't a tremendous decrease, but it was enough to make me say, like, oh shit.
Yeah,
like, I'm used to not, I don't log into my bank accounts. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I gotta log in, I gotta budget something.
Right.
So I'm still blessed. Never had a decrease ever, but thank God once August hit, we restocked and we was straight back up. So I was like, whew. So that was good. But yeah, I felt like I was humbled in business. I was humbled in personal life. So yeah, I'm in a really good place now. And I feel like God forced me to go through a lot of things so that everything could get better. So I'm making a lot of decisions with wisdom now, down to like what I need in my business. I'm not thinking with my heart like, oh, well, I like this person, so they need to join the team. Like, no, what, from a longevity standpoint, what makes the most sense?
What's going to be the best for me? Yeah.
What's going to be the best a year from now?
Right. Not just right now.
Yeah. And I made a huge decision. The person behind this camera, Bree.
Hey, hi, Bree.
So Bree is from Baltimore, and
I was about to ask.
You can hear the accent.
I can hear it, but I ain't want to be wrong.
Nah.
I ain't want to be wrong because sometimes I get it wrong. But.
So I made a huge decision recently. I've never had somebody on my team that was fully dedicated to social media and content, and Bree is a beast at it. And I have an HR company that I had hired earlier this year, and she was like, yo, I came across this girl from back home. She's lit. I think she's the only person that qualifies. So we had the conversation. I was like, okay, are you gonna be willing to relocate? When I tell y'all, Bree was on it, and I really wanted to invest in having a Bree on my team, somebody dedicated to content creation, videography, editing, graphics, marketing. I wanted that. I've never had somebody fully dedicated in the
Your
style of content.
Is about to go, and we'll talk about that. I'm gonna let you finish.
Oh,
but,
shit,
yeah,
for real?
People, and sorry to cut you off, but so many people feel like social and content should be like the first thing, but a lot of people, they just put it by the wayside. So like, even like when you see like a lot of these big corporations, the social media person, they're not really getting a good salary. And sometimes they group so much into being a social media manager. Like, it's not just posting, it's not just captions, it's coming up with the content that they think is going to perform best based on your audience. It's setting up
their
the
strategy.
Shots. Yeah, it's setting up the shots that they think are going to work best, and then also planning out all of that. Like, that stuff is a major job, and I always tell people, like, don't slack when it comes to your social content, because that can be the difference between your business hitting five figures and six figures, because that's like the easiest place to market your business. It's free, but when you do it right, the results are phenomenal. I've never met anybody that put a lot of time in social media and didn't get it back.
Gotcha.
So you having her, somebody that's dedicated to social and content, oh my God, it's gonna make your life so much easier, and then you're going to get into this flow where now you're going to be thinking like, oh, I just be dope for social.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur, you're so focused on this stuff. Like, you're focused on the product. You're focused on the logistics, the shipping, all of that stuff, to the point where it's like you wake up and it's like, damn, it's been like a week since I posted. And then, you know what I mean? But it's like your audience, they want to see that, because that's what's going to make them connected to a regular exposure, the Fashion Academy, all of that stuff. So that's really good that you have somebody like Bree. But that's what I really am getting more hands-on with, like helping my clients look at social from, like, beyond just pressing post. It's so much that goes into it. And I'm really big on, like, just researching what works and not trying to, like, reinvent the wheel, but just focusing on, like, you're like, what do people fuck with on social media? How can I take that and make it unique to me? So, but
it's a job.
It is a job.
Like, earlier this year, before I even put up the post to try to find somebody to help me with social media, and this is dedicated to the academy. Like, I have somebody in place that runs the social and works on content for my clothing companies. But for the academy, I'm like, yo, I'm literally on the phone with factories all day. I'm touching patterns. I'm having pattern-making meetings. I'm walking into my size grader. I don't leave the house without my handbag that has measuring tape in it. They need to see this. This is me living and breathing fashion, but I have nobody to show it and record it. So I had to shift the way that I did that. So I feel like I had to pay attention during the pandemic, and definitely this year post-pandemic, on where the industry is going. And I was investing a lot of money in Facebook ads. And iOS 14 killed Facebook ads.
I read about that.
It's done. Like, I think, I'm not gonna say it's done. I still run ads, but I'm not investing as much. So I said, why not switch that whole marketing budget? I think it's so important to pay attention to what's relevant.
And what's working and what's not working. Yeah.
So prior to the pandemic, that was my top. I did 1.4 million in 9 months.
Bitch.
Just off clothes. All off ads. And I was running them myself. So I'm like, well, shit, if I get a professional in here, it's up. So post-pandemic, I was still doing well. Like, we were still seeing five-figure months. I never seen less than, like, at least what my goal was. But I was used to surpassing it. And iOS 14 changed it. And Facebook ads are so oversaturated now that you have to do things to stand out, and you have to do things differently. So I talked to one of my ad companies today that runs ads for the academy and told him, you know, I want to end the contract. And they were like, wow, And I said, you know, I have someone else that's gonna run ads for a lower cost, and I'm not gonna spend as much on ads. I need to do other formats of marketing that works for my company. So I did my research, pulled my data. I noticed that my top profiting, I would say some of the things I did that were most profitable this year was public speaking. The return on that was insane. Podcasting, so coming and showing on podcasts, and not just me speaking on them, but paying for a commercial on a podcast. I had enough data to say, okay, the ads, we'll keep them running for, like, the little free webinar shit and stuff like that, or the products, the e-courses, but to actually see the full profit and expand on the opportunity, I need to have someone with me. And it's simple as posting. And I was like, that's what I'm gonna do. And they were trying to keep me. I'm like, nah, like, I think I'm gonna go ahead and switch this budget around, get Bree out here, get my content lit on the academy, and let's run it up from there. So I say all that to say, digital marketing has changed. Like, just watching marketing over the past 2 years, you have no choice but to be invested in marketing,
right?
Even if you're not an expert. So what are some of the shifts that you've noticed prior to COVID, prior to the panoramic? So prior to that, and then I'm not even gonna say post COVID. I feel like we're still
in it.
I don't know if you saw the article today where in New York, sidebar, but the I think nurses, they're going to be firing all nurses that don't get the vaccination by midnight tonight.
Oh, no, my friend. Oh, my God, my friend. So one of my best friends, her name is Chrissy. She works in a hospital in New York.
No.
She was telling me, I mean, like, thank God she got the vaccine. Okay. She was like, bro, like, when I got that notification, I'm like, dang, maybe I need to find another job. She was like, if COVID is making niggas switch, yep. or, you know what I mean? Like, yep. then maybe I need to rethink this.
Hey, Fashionpreneur, I hope you're enjoying this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries podcast, but I wanted to take a moment and invite you to my brand new free masterclass, the Fashionpreneur A, B, C, and D. I want to give you guys the game on how I've been able to scale to see over seven figures annually within this industry, and how I've been able to teach my students how to launch, profit, and do the exact same things. So let's get into the methodology. The A, accounting. I want to teach you guys how to definitely stay in the positive and stay profitable, but also make sure you're budgeting. So we're gonna get straight to the money. Then we're gonna get into the B, buying wholesale. I want you all to understand the importance of vendor relationships, where to find the vendors, but everything that you need prior to buying and styling. Then we're gonna get into the C, content creation, and the importance of having consistent and relevant content in this day and age, especially when you have a boutique or e-commerce brand. Then we're gonna get into the D, designing your collection as a beginner. I know it can feel intimidating and scary, but I'm gonna show you guys how to do this on a startup budget. I want you guys to make sure you are in class. Register right now at thefashionpreneuracademy.com/webinar, or just text us TFA today at 855-951-5188. I will see you in class, and let's get back to this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries.
Going back to like the shifts, I've seen a lot of shifts, and I wish I would have documented like my predictions more. But I've always been a fan of just like organic marketing. Like even like with a lot of my clients, like my first instinct to boost revenue isn't to run an ad, it's to do an organic marketing campaign. I truly feel like when you have a connection to your audience, like an ad can't buy that emotional connection. You know what I mean? Yeah. An ad may buy that attention for like that split second, but that emotional connection is what's really gonna make the consumer stay for a long time. And I was rewatching the Travis Scott documentary the other day, and you know, it because I've been a fan of Travis Scott for a while.
Yeah.
But a lot of people just see Travis now, like selling out all of these Nikes. But a lot of people don't know that Travis put years into building this brand. And and I really loved how in the documentary, a lot of his fans, they weren't really just talking about just his music, like how it sounds. They were talking about how his music makes them feel. Like, Travis makes me feel like I'm seen. He makes me feel like I'm not alone. Like, anybody can listen to music, but when you feel something, that is how you have that emotional connection. So I feel like a lot of brands are shifting, and content and social media marketing is shifting to being more emotional and connecting to the psychology of the person. Like, okay, yes, my product is cool, it looks good, it's functional, but how does my product make somebody feel? Like, and I feel like Apple has always had this when it comes to their products. Like, their products make people feel cool, they make them feel modern, like they make them feel hip, versus like their competitors, they don't have that same effect. So now we're seeing a shift, especially when a lot of people now, they have the same product. So it's the only differentiator between product A and product B is how that product is going to make that person feel.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs should really start developing communities within their brands and start developing an emotional connection with their audience.
Yeah.
Because when you have that now, your audience and your customers, they're your marketing team. They're going to tell their friend like, yo, I just bought from Jessica. The customer service was amazing. I loved how fast she shipped my products. Yada, yada. Like, I definitely want to buy from her again. An ad can't do that.
Nope.
So that's one thing I would definitely say is shifting. The other thing I will say is shifting from before COVID to now is more ugly, and I call it ugly content. So before, you would see a lot of these fashion brands and even products, the products like the shots, everything would be super fancy, super clean, you know, and like very, very, very polished. But now the consumer is numb to that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So now you're seeing more brands. It's like, okay, we're not going to do a photo shoot behind a white wall every mm-hmm. single time. Now we're going to have our brand photo shoot out in the street,
yep.
out in the world, because mm-hmm. now a person can now visualize, okay, so like if I were to get that outfit, that's how I would look if I was walking down the street in that, versus looking at it in a white wall. You can't really do that. So we're seeing more of a shift with marketing and content where people are getting a little bit uglier and less polished yeah. to create a more realistic vibe where people can visualize themselves in that brand. I've yeah. definitely seen that a lot with fashion brands. Like even when you go on sites like Pretty Little Thing, mm-hmm. like their product shot is on a rooftop. You know what I mean? Like in Savage X Fenty, I did a poll on this like about a year and a half ago. It was so wild. But I had noticed that they were doing this. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm on their website and I'm looking at all these girls in lingerie, but I noticed that I was clicking on the product photos where the girls were wearing lingerie like in their bed, mm-hmm. on the couch, because like that's where you that's would wear yeah. the lingerie. And I'm like, wow, like, and then I did a poll on my Twitter and I was like, okay, this is photo one, this is photo two, it's the same product, but which photo would you click on? And it was like 89% of people said the one with lifestyle. And I tweeted that and I was like, yo, like if you have a product, look at these statistics, because this is what the audience is wanting. They're wanting to see your product in a lifestyle format.
Yeah.
And also I would say one of the third shifts that I'm seeing with brands is they're taking more of a 360 approach to their brand. Like they're not just selling a product, they're selling a lifestyle, and they're giving their audience and their consumer multiple ways to interact with the brand besides just purchasing yeah. a product. And I think Ronnie Feig with Kith, I think he does a really good job of this. Like he just released a book for his 10-year anniversary okay. with the brand. And it's like, everybody knows Kith as a clothing company, but he's giving his customers something that has nothing to do with clothes, something that they can put in their home, and that's just one more touch point for them to feel connected to the brand. So now you're seeing brands doing things like that, like creating like novelty items. Yeah. They're creating extra content, like maybe Kith may launch a podcast, but yeah. it's like, that is another way for somebody to interact with this brand instead of just buying from them. So yeah. I think that is the shift that we're seeing, because now the brand is integrated into that person's lifestyle, yeah. and it's not just a product. It's something that is intertwined with their daily routine. So yeah, those are the shifts that I'm seeing yeah. in marketing.
You're pretty awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, Jessica. I think you know that.
Thank you. Thank you. You're the shit. Thank you.
Okay, so Taylor Consulting. Mm-hmm. What are the services that you offer? Because I mean, I've worked with you before. I know my experience of your creativity and your knowledge and your wisdom. So, what is it that you offer for somebody that doesn't know that?
So my consulting agency is going to be broken down into two different tiers. Like okay. I want to work one-on-one with brands, but I also want to work one-on-one with the creative entrepreneur. So on okay. the brand side, it's going to be like, you know, like your basic consulting services, like strategy, planning, marketing, rollout, stuff like that. But when one-on-one with the entrepreneur is going to be more so empowering them to love unlock it. Their inner creativity so that they can be self-sufficient as a creative entrepreneur and not feel like they have to constantly get all of these ideas and start from scratch yeah. every time they want to launch a new product or launch a campaign. So working with them to help them develop a system to streamline their brain dumps, feel like they have enough brain power mm-hmm. to really plan out their marketing campaigns and just give them ideas for them to actually roll those out. Gotcha. So that's how I'm gonna break it down. And I also want to offer courses. Like I really want to offer like coaching and work one-on-one with the creative entrepreneur from like more of like a personal standpoint yeah. because I really feel like that is a gift of mine as well. Mm-hmm. Like I can work behind the scenes, doing the strategy, giving the framework, but for the entrepreneur that is more front-facing, like yourself, like you have your brand, but mm-hmm. you're also in the field. Like, you yeah. know what I mean? Like you're teaching your clients, people associate the fashionpreneur with you. Mm-hmm. So for the entrepreneurs that have that connection with their brand, I wanna work with them to build their personal brand inside and outside of the business.
I love it. Okay, thank so you. When are you accepting clients?
Probably like around my birthday. Like this has been, I'm really taking my time with Taylor Consulting. I feel like before, like with my other businesses, it was just like, okay, I might just do it and figure it out on the way. But I feel like with this, I want to be so strategic because I also feel like my, like how I want my business to be structured is very unique and very new. And I just want to make sure that I do everything right.
Yeah.
And I offer people a luxury experience. Like, I know I can provide the services. I know I have the talent, but I just want to make sure that my clients get as much value as they can. And that is where the strategy and the planning and the back end comes in. So I actually hired a business coach myself because I got to a point where I realized, okay, I know how to do everything up to here.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I'm aware of myself to know that, okay, Danya, you can't do this.
Yeah.
So I'm hiring her to do like that 10% so that I can structure my business on the back end so that once it's launched, I don't have to do a rebrand or go back. You know what I mean? Because I've done that. And it's like if I would have just put a little bit more extra elbow grease and time and plan, I wouldn't have to deal with this. Yeah. So I plan on launching everything around December. I definitely want to do like a giveaway to my followers like within like the next 2 weeks where I'm offering people like brand consulting services. Because I want to get an idea of what it is that my clients need before. So I guess kind of like a soft launch.
I love it.
I'm not really going to be charging them. I just really want feedback, honest feedback. And I want to build my testimonials and reviews so that when I hit the ground, I can hit the ground running. You know what I mean? I already have reviews when I launch. I already have testimonials and results.
Probably testimonials and reviews.
Yes, that's the main thing. I'm really big on that.
That runs my business. So all of them. But one thing I always try to put my students in the perspective of is like hiring. A lot of them can be DIY sometimes. And I was also that way when I first launched. I was really young and I was like, I'll figure it out. I'll be the CEO. I'll be the creative director. Oh, now when I tell you I will hire, what? I don't think people realize how much it's going to cost you by trying to do things yourself that you're not skilled in. It's kind of like applying for a job and you lied on the application and you try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And you're doing that to yourself. So you're doing yourself a disservice and costing yourself years of ROI. And when I began to hire, like 5 years ago was when I hired my first business coach. That led me to hiring my first consultants, assistants. But I am very big on hiring contractors that are skilled in their career, but skilled in their expertise. And they have the knowledge and they have the support and the testimonials to support that. And I always try to tell my students, you know, if you're not great at creating websites, they're website developers. It's okay. If you do not understand content, this is where you hire content creators. And I think that I had read recently, actually I was listening to another podcast, Earn Your Leisure, and they had a little flyer up on their page and I had read into it. And they really did this kind of like a little soft cover on the top four billionaires in America, the newest billionaires. And these four new billionaires are all in the medical field, but none of them have a degree in medicine. None of them have worked in medicine. All of them have understood.
They hired the people who fucking knew. That's
boom.
Why.
They mastered hiring talent versus trying to be the talent. And I think that people have to understand that. So if you want to reach billionaire status, know that the newest four billionaires in America have nothing to do with medicine. Their background has nothing to do with it, but they've understood mastering the importance of being able to build a team. And I feel like that's what has really led me to growth this year a lot more. Like I said, earlier this year was like, I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, and people might look at the numbers we were seeing as champagne problems. Like my staff was like, yo, you're good. My accountant was like, you're tripping. You're seeing great positive numbers. But I'm like, nope. This is not what I'm used to. I want it up. And when I started to hire the experts to give me that knowledge and not even share the knowledge, but just use their knowledge to do what they do, everything went back up, like boom. So I say that to say the importance of hiring people, and even if it is someone, people don't understand the importance of like having someone on your team just to be an analyst and strategize.
Yeah.
You and your predictions, like the predictions that you share on your stories, invaluable. The predictions you share on your page, your Twitter, invaluable. And I've seen so many of your predictions come into fruition. So I think people don't understand, to have somebody that can see the future of your business, that is, I don't think they understand.
Yeah.
So what you have is very valuable.
Thank you.
Very valuable.
Thank you.
You and know that, but I need you to really know that.
And I'm so glad you talked about the team shit, because I feel like so many people be like, oh, like I did it by myself.
Yep.
You don't have to do it by yourself. Like the people that are really lit did not do it by themselves. And going back to the Travis Scott documentary, like almost every time he finished something or he was talking about something, he just kept saying, we, like it was his name.
Yep.
On the Grammy nomination, like, yo, like, we did it, because it's not just Travis.
Yep.
It's his engineer. It's his manager.
Yep.
It's his agent. It's all of these people. So it's like, yeah, like, if you're listening to this or watching this, you may see somebody like a Travis, be like, oh, my God, he's fired. But just know it's so many people that you don't see that are doing the little tiny jobs that all come together to make this masterpiece. And I had to learn, like, hiring and delegating, that's a skill in itself. Like, if you want to be successful, you have to learn how to delegate and do it efficiently, because your team is only going to care about your business as much as you do.
Yeah.
So you can't show that you don't care. You're going to slack because your team is going to cut corners.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to be the example and delegate efficiently. A lot of people just feel like, okay, I can just hire somebody and then I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have to actively be a leader to your team at all times. You know
and,
what I mean?
And effectively train them and execute them so that they can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn, like I said, I used to hire off of, I think I was telling you this earlier, I used to really move with the mindset of, oh, I really like this person.
Right.
They have the potential to grow in the
right.
company. And that's not what these corporations are doing. They aren't hiring because they see potential.
Like, we got it right now.
What you doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the skill set today?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great you want to learn with me, but that's more of a mentorship. I'm looking for
right.
an employee.
To produce results.
That's it.
Exactly.
And I think I had to really learn how to master that. And instead of me trying to stress the importance of mastering that day by day, I hired an HR team that would do the screening for me. So they do all the frontline screening.
Because they're more neutral.
That they're neutral.
Because they're focused on results. You're like,
that's
oh,
it.
Yep.
So by the time they get to me, it's usually second or third interview, sometimes even fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like very clear on time not being wasted. I was wasting time in
doing
interviews
it.
That weren't producing results. I spend a whole day, we 6 hours in, and I still don't have the person.
Yeah.
And also I had to learn how to hire people that were skilled in their skill and not try to put them in other avenues.
Right.
So I would sometimes, and I still fall to this sometimes, it's like, oh, well, you can just do this other thing really quick. This, you're hired for this, but do you mind helping us out with this? No.
Yeah.
No. Let people focus on their skill set and their creativity so that they can maximize it. And
they
just see their full potential.
The riches are in the niches. The riches are in the
That's
niches.
It.
So like the more narrow stuff is, the farther
you will go.
You can go, because it's just
when I tell you, I make all of my staff members stick to that one thing now.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one person dedicated to creative for IE.
Mm-hmm.
I have another person dedicated to creative for my other company. One person dedicated to customer support, and stick to it, because
right.
all of it's producing results and we all need each other to be a well-oiled machine.
Right.
So, okay, I love it. Okay,
yes.
So where can people follow you before we go?
You can follow me everywhere, just Donye Taylor, that's my name, Taylor Consulting on Instagram. I'm also working on building out my personal brand.
Yes.
So you can subscribe to my newsletter. That is where I get really, really personal. I talk about a lot of stuff that I have upcoming, whether it's an event that I'm speaking at or a podcast like this. I typically put that information in there first. I'm really big on owning your audience so that if Instagram or Twitter or
mm-hmm.
something were to shut down, you still have access to your audience. So subscribe to my newsletter. And thank you so much, Jessica,
yes.
for having me.
Thank you for coming. I totally texted you like the other day. You was like, I'm there.
Period.
So,
like,
that's just who you are. You always have been. So I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Anything else you wanted to share before we go?
Let me think.
Any tidbits? Any yay quotes? Because you're good for a tweet.
I am good for a tweet. Ooh. I will say, what I'm learning is just because you post something, that's not the launch.
Oh.
Like, I feel like a lot of times people just post something, yes, and then that's it. Yeah. You really have to overemphasize things multiple times before it connects. Mm. So if you're gonna launch something in April, you need to start talking about it in February. Mm-hmm. You need to start talking about it in March. Like, don't wait until 2 weeks before.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, so that's just what I would say. And that's what I'm doing right now. And that was a tweet. It was like, whatever you want in the future, you gotta start working on right now. Like, I'm planning on launching Taylor Consulting in like 3 months, but I'm working on that shit right now. So yeah, like, you're never too good to plan. That's my,
I love it.
That's the quote.
The post is not the launch. That's
the
a tweetable
moment.
The post
is not the launch. Yeah, the post is not the launch. And
I love it.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you. All right. Well, we will be back with another entry of the Fashionpreneur Diary. But none of them have a degree in medicine. None of them have worked in medicine. All of them have understood.
They hired the people who fucking knew. That's
boom.
Why.